Father, we're so grateful that you are our victor in every circumstance, oh God. Oh, there's lots of weapons out there, but they're not going to prosper. Not against the sons and daughters of God. For Father, as we walk by faith and we put our hands into that shield, Father, that you said that it stops all the fiery darts of the evil one. And Lord, we're just so thankful that our minds are free to worship. Our minds are free to shout unto you with a voice of triumph. Our hearts are overwhelmed by your loving kindness and your goodness today. And Father, we thank you for the breakthrough that you have given each one of us today according to your word. Father, in worship, Father, as we stepped into another realm, as we stepped into your throne room, we're so thankful, Father, that our hearts have been put at rest, that our minds have been renewed by singing the very words of life. Father, that our spirits are encouraged already. They're strengthened this morning because of the worship that happened in our homes, in our hearts, in the house of God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for transforming us already at your altar of worship. Let us sing of your goodness and of your glory all the days of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen, church. Amen. Well, we are so thankful. It sounds really echoey, Pete, in here anyway, and my ears, I don't know what changed. Thank you, worship team. I pray that you all enjoyed it as much as I did. I was just shouting and throwing my hands in the air in the back and just getting lost with the Lord our God. And I thank God for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. I thank you. Sam, can you grab my water over there? I left it on the chair back there somewhere. And this morning, as reminded to pray for the Monroe family and for the Main family as they lost their father, the two wives have lost their father. We're just going to pray for them, for God's strength in the midst of this time of need. And Philemon 1:3, it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So from Rock Solid Church, we want to say peace and grace to you in the name of the Lord God our Father. We are so thankful for that peace that he brings upon our hearts through the word of God and for the grace that he has ministered to each and every one of us. Whew, that wasn't mine. And we just want to tell everybody too this morning, thank you. Thank you for all the tireless work that everyone has been doing. Thank you to all of those that work in the food pantry and are serving, all of those that are unloading 10,000 pounds a week and feeding over 300 people. Thank you for those that serve in the office, that come and keep the phones going and keeping the appointments going so that the word of God is going forth in great power and great strength and people's lives are being changed and transformed. Thank you to those that have taken the time to call. And I want to say this again. We say it every week, but I don't want it to change. And that is that each one of us in here, teenagers, the college and career, adults, everybody call five people this week, check on them, encourage them, and then don't hang up without praying for them. I can't encourage you enough that in these times, in these seasons, and it's every day, it's not just in this time, but every day that we have a mindset of how can I touch someone's life? Because listen, maybe they've got some rules and regulations confining you to a certain degree, but I want you to know you can touch all four corners of the world from your living room. Nothing is outside of your touch. And yesterday, Pastor Wayne down in Marana, Arizona, he's got a wonderful church down there doing a great work. And he called and he said, hey, can you do a virtual men's breakfast? And so yesterday was the first time I did a virtual men's breakfast. I just want you to know that the breakfast wasn't worth anything because we didn't eat anything. I just sat there. And but Pastor Wayne said he'll make it up to me one day. But we had a great time, men checking in, some from New York and some from down there in Arizona. Just had a great time encouraging one another. And thank God for the social media that we have to stay connected. So please use what the good Lord has given us and encourage someone, build someone else up, and make sure that whoever you call, you don't get off the phone until you pray for them. I just want to say thank you to all the different ministries that, you know, for those that are giving to this ministry, because then we keep giving around the world. We've actually taken on more giving in the midst of this, because I believe that our God is able, and what he does, it even in a famine, our God supplies. Amen. And so even in a time when it seems to be lack is a time that we still give. Why? Because we don't receive from the hand of man, but from the very throne of God. And God is a, he gives seed to the sower. Come on. You're supposed to help me out here, guys.
Sower.
All right. That's better. We just want to say thanks for those who love the Lord and are stepping out and spreading the word. There's some that are just preaching the word of God more than they ever have. So thankful for our church. We just want you to know we love you. Thank you, Rock Solid Church. And for every other person that's walking in the Lord Jesus Christ and encouraging other people in Jesus Christ, thank you for not backing down, bowing down, for pressing in. We're so thankful. You know, make sure that your neighbors are taken care of. This is a time for the church to really live out the commission of Jesus Christ. You know, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I really believe this with all my heart, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you were created for this time in this season. Your day is now. It's not tomorrow. It wasn't 40, 50 years ago. Some people say, I was born in the wrong time. You were not. That's a lie. You were born at the right time. You've been trained and equipped for this season as an overcomer, one who has overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so I believe that you've been created for right now, and there's people's lives that need to be changed because of you. You know, I want to say thank you to our intercessors that are still getting together also and praying constantly. God is changing things in Columbia County, in Greene County, and other counties. And I believe that through a lot of prayer and faithful prayers of fervent and men and women, that, you know, this thing is dying in the name of Jesus Christ, regardless of what some would say in the press. I believe that the power of God is greater than any man on this planet. And we'll stand on the word of God all the days of our lives. You know, when the world is confused and wondering what to do, that's when you walk in. Each one of us walk in and we simply speak the truth in love with all kinds of grace and mercy, and their lives are changed forever, giving ourselves to the kingdom cause. Right now, it's a time of giving ourselves. You can't be here, but it's about giving ourselves. So keep calling and finding ways to get into other people's lives and watching God add to the kingdom of God each week. Today, the title would be a moment of the sermon. And, you know, this is a moment in our lives. Although it may seem like there's no end in sight, there's an end coming. Trust me, there's an end coming to the way that we have been confined right now. And I believe that what God wants to do in the midst of this, in this time, is take this moment. And you need to get up every morning. When you get up every morning, you need to step out and say, this is my moment. This is my moment with my God. When you wake up in the morning and you get into prayer, this is my moment with my God. This is my moment in the word of God, preparing me for the moment that he has me living through right now. It's a short interlude from the rest of your life. That's what this is, right? Just a short interlude from all of the days and months and years. And we've looked back and we wondered, you know, holy mackerel, another year has gone by. I guarantee you that's not the thought of most people right now, that 3 months have gone by already. Most people are complaining about how slow the months are going. But right now, this is a short interlude, or like the TV used to say. You know, remember they used to come on and say, it's time for a station identification break. And I believe that's where we're at as a church. I believe it's time for a station identification. Because so many times when people come to church and we share the word of God with them, we tell them what the word of God says. But now this is your turn to get into your prayer closet and finding out your identity. This is your turn to get in and say, I identify that I am victorious. I agree that my God has washed me and cleansed me. I know that the plan that God has for me is beautiful, it's wonderful, it's magnificent, and it's much more than I've ever dreamed of. This is my opportunity for my station identification. So you're in your station, in your prayer room, you're in your little niche, I should say. I don't know what a niche is. And but it's time for just a station identification break, and it's only a moment. We don't have a lot of time. We're going to look back on our lives and realize how quickly this season was. But I want to use this season to the fullest of my ability to find out what God has for the church, for our own individual lives, for family members. I want to be able to hear so clearly from him, and that comes from this time, this moment that God has us in. So don't look at it like you're confined, but look at it like it's an opportunity for you to draw back, get strengthened in Jesus Christ, press into him with all that you have, and then grab a hold of a truth that he's going to speak to your life. I believe that God's going to speak words into people's lives that are going to carry them the rest of their ministry. I believe there's times right now God's going to speak things to you that's going to direct the rest of your ministry. It's going to change your marriage. It's going to transform some of your children and change the direction or maybe your relationship with them. I believe what God is speaking is what the enemy has tried to use for evil. We just sang that, right? God's using it for good. No matter what comes, God teaches us something in the midst of it. And so I want to encourage you, it's only a moment that you have where there's no other distractions in your life that God wants to speak directly to each and every one that are listening. I want you to turn on your Bibles over to Acts chapter 9. We're going to look there today. Right now, everybody is not flocking to the stadiums, whether it's 30 people, 80 people, 100, 1,000, 10,000, 30,000, 80,000, whatever it is. They're not flocking to that. And it's a time for those men that have been preaching for years and years. It's almost a time not to step back. Obviously, we're pressing into the things of God, but we're not getting together with one another. So it's an opportunity for each one to grab a hold of what God has spoken over your life and each one coming closer to the Lord and doing his will. And so in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19, if you have your Bibles, let's read from there. I'll be in the NASB, so whatever yours is. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And he was traveling. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do." And then the men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all those who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. And he took food and was strengthened. Now, for several days, he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. And then one more scripture I want to read, and is in Acts chapter 22, verses 12 to 16. It says, "And a certain man named Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near me said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that time, I looked up at him and he said, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear the utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men, and what you have seen, of what you have seen and heard. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. And, you know, as we take a look at those scriptures, sorry, wrong page. As we read in those scriptures, I believe that it's a day and a season where, you know, we read about Ananias here. It's not Ananias the high priest. It's not Ananias, the husband of Sapphira, who died and was buried. But it's the scripture says, it's just a simple description that they make of him, and it says, a disciple. And can I tell you, the greatest title you can ever have in the kingdom of God is disciple of Jesus Christ. All the other titles are wonderful, but the greatest title that you could ever carry is just disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very little is known about Ananias, where he comes from, and the word in his name, Ananias, it's the Greek form of the Hebrew word, Hananiah, and it means Yahweh has been gracious. And, you know, I believe it's time for all the Ananiases to rise up in the kingdom of God. I believe that it's time right now. All the stadiums are closed. We don't know a lot about Ananias, but he had one purpose. He had one job. He was praying. He was seeking the face of God. The Bible says that he was a disciple. He disciplined himself after the things of God. And then when God called him, he had a choice to make. And I believe that, you know, it's a choice that each one of us have to make right now in this season of our lives. No longer looking for the one who, the greatest preacher in the world, but looking for the disciples of Jesus Christ in the world. And this time in this season, it's about those who have the heart of Ananias and the attitude of Ananias, and to walk out what God speaks, no matter what you think. Because we all have different thoughts sometimes when God speaks to us and he gives us a purpose or a plan, or he's trying to encourage us to step out in faith. We had a meeting yesterday, and one of the gentlemen there used to work on a rescue squad. And he said, you know, every time we would come and we would do our drill over and over and over again. So every time you stepped out of the rescue squad, everything was one fluid motion. And we drilled it over and over and over again so that as we got out, we opened a door, we grabbed our bag, and we went in to do one job, and that was either save someone's life or help bring healing to someone. Never knowing what we're going to get into. But they did the same thing over and over and over again, and they only had one purpose in mind, and that was to serve those that they went to go and help. And I pray that would be the way that we think. That we only have one purpose in mind as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have all said, for most that are probably watching, have said, you know, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that through his blood, my sins have been forgiven. They've been washed away. I believe that I'm a new creature, a new creation, that I've been given a new name, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me, because the Scripture says if you ask, he'll give you the Spirit. So the very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of each and every one of us. And so many times we agree to this, but we don't go through the training, or we don't prepare ourselves for one purpose, and that is to serve. We don't prepare ourselves sometimes to take what we have and be prepared to use it for one purpose, as someone else's life has changed. And I just thought it was such a beautiful correlation or a thought process that the EMTs do the same thing every single time, because it cuts down on wasted time. Sometimes they don't have a lot of time, and everything is in their bag that they're going to need for pretty much anything they run into. And I believe that everything in the Word of God is going to be anything or everything that you'll need, no matter what situation you come into. No matter what it is, when we read and we study and we hide away, we steal away, especially right now, it's a time to steal away with the Lord and then to realize, okay, what is my calling for those that were doing worship today? Thank you for those that came, because can I tell you, it's so much more wonderful preaching when there's worship. my heart just gets overwhelmed with the goodness of God. And but as they came, you know, they prepared for one purpose, to glorify God. They memorized the songs, the musicians, they practiced the songs, and then they come together as one unit for one purpose. And that is to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that Ananias, even though we don't see a whole lot about it, you can hear that he had a good rapport with the Jews, and he knew the law or the word of God. And so that we see that he did study to show himself approved, and that's why they used the title disciple. And disciple, we know, you know, of Christ, is just one who believes in the doctrine or rests in the sacrifice, filled with the Spirit, or imitates Jesus Christ. And that's what our job is. Our goal is, and our focus is, on this planet. You know, he was, one of the things about Ananias is he was able to discern the voice of God. Oh, how powerful that is. He was able to discern that it was God that spoke to him and told him, you're going to have to go meet this guy Saul. Now, we know according to the scriptures, he had some questions for God. And he said, Lord, hang on a second. I know, I've heard about this guy. I believe that there's a lot of people in your town that you've heard rumors about. I believe that there's people that you've heard horrible things about in your town. But my prayer is that God is going to give you a word to go to that person that you have heard horrible things about, and you're going to give them the word of the Lord, and it's going to change the direction of their life and their families forever. That's what Ananias did. He sought the word of God. He read the word of God. He studied the word of God. He prayed. He had a good rapport. In other words, he was known as being a disciple or a servant of Jesus Christ, according to the word. And I believe that if we do the same thing, that there are people that the Lord's going to send you to that you're going to question. Maybe he's going to send you back to somebody that you have a problem with. I don't know about you, but there are some people that probably have a problem with you. I'm not sure if you realize that right now. I don't know if you even think along those lines, but there's probably some people that have a problem with you. But somebody looked at you, and I'm reminded of Pete Voicy years ago. He had this brown, big-rimmed hat with the braided tail off the back of it, you know, the mountain man kind of looking thing. He liked to hike and all of that stuff. And I can only imagine the first people that went up to him and said, hey, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? They probably looked and hesitated and wondered, Lord, we've heard about this guy. But I believe there's a lot of people around you that maybe because they look like something or something you've heard in their past, that God's going to give you a word specifically for them in this time. Press in and listen, and then we're going to have to do something like Ananias did, which was he was able to discern the voice of the Lord. The Bible says that we're to be, in Genesis 1:28, we know the scripture, and it says, be fruitful and multiply. You know, so many people are trying to multiply without being fruitful. And the fruitfulness is where we spend time in prayer. That's being fruitful in the things of God. The fruit of the Spirit being known inside of us, the love, the kindness, the forbearance, the patience, all of these things. That fruitfulness, when we walk in that fruitfulness, when we look at the Word of God, as it says in Genesis 1:28, it's be fruitful and multiply. And I believe that if we're fruitful in this time, because this is only a moment for each one of us, it's a moment in your life that you have set aside, and actually you've been told to set it aside for the most part, that you're going to either complain about it or you're going to press in to be able to hear the voice of God, prepare yourself so that, and become fruitful in your time with the Lord. So many people, you know, I had this thought, we were praying the other day. And when I walk into my prayer closet, here's the picture that I get. When I walk in, I walk out onto like a rock ledge. And then as I start to pray according to the word of God, because we know that God hears and answers our cry. Amen? We know that he answers our prayer. So when I start to pray, I'm praying and I start to watch my valley. I don't know about you guys, but I'm in front of a whole vast valley. And as I start to pray, I start to see things. I visualize it coming to pass. And God starts to build this tapestry. Sort of like yesterday, I took a walk. I just had to get outside and get some fresh air by myself. And I wanted to see the sunset. So I went down to the river just to watch the sunset. And the tapestry that God builds is just spectacular. But when we get into our prayer closet, I step into another dimension. I don't step into a prayer closet. Some people look at it as something that's confining, some place that it's ritualistic, sometimes that it's a place that's hard or something I have to do to try to earn God's good graces. But can we look at it a little bit differently that, you know, to be fruitful and multiply? When you step into your prayer closet, you step into another universe. It's a spiritual realm where you speak directly to God, speaking in tongues in the beginning. That's what I usually do and stir myself up in the Holy Ghost. And I'll start to speak in tongues for a little while. And then as I start to pray, I start to build this tapestry of things happening, praying over different people's lives, taking dominion over certain areas, looking at buildings and needing them for the kingdom of God, whether it's for our church or whether it's other churches that we're planting around. And I just start to see this picture coming into view all through this whole valley that God has painted through His Word. And He said, you have the authority to speak to that mountain and be thou removed. So sometimes there's even mountains in my valley that have to be moved out of the way. And I see this in this realm of the Spirit. When I walk in to pray, I'm standing on that precipice and I'm speaking faith in the name of Jesus Christ and watching this picture come alive in my spirit. Because I know and I agree that as I walk in faith, I'm going to have what I say. The scripture is quite clear on that, that it will hide His word in our hearts so that we walk according to it. And then we start to say things in faith according to His word. We're going to see those things come to pass. I pray that you never go back into your prayer closet the same again, but you're stepping into that spiritual dimension where all the walls disappear and all things become possible right there. Right there, when you get in there close with the Lord, everything becomes possible. All the impossibilities just start to fade away. And you start to see in a whole different realm. I just want to encourage you, as that was a side note that I just got so caught up in this past week, watching it happen. But the first thing is be fruitful. Meaning, like in Galatians chapter 5, talking about the fruits of the Spirit, disciplining myself in prayer, disciplining myself in reading the Word of God, disciplining myself in my tongue, disciplining myself in my eating, discipline myself in every area of my life, preparing myself to be a vessel used by the King of Glory all the days of my life. Because again, this is only a moment. This is only a moment that we're caught up in, and it is going to be fleeting. And I don't ever want to go back to doing things just out of habit. I don't want to go back and do things just because that's the way it was done before. I believe God wants to speak to us in our prayer closets in that other, another dimension called the spirit realm, where He wants to speak clearly to each one of us, not just to leaders, please, to every Ananias. You know, if you're in your house, just tell your neighbor or tell somebody in your house, you're an Ananias. You're being prepared for this time and this season on the planet, and it's only for a moment. Even though he thought in the natural, Ananias had to stay away from Saul, God said, get up close. I want you to go meet him face to face. You know, and so many times with social media, people want to send a text or they want to send an Instagram or something more impersonal. But I believe that because of the power of God on the inside of you, that God wants you to, not right now because we're quarantined to a certain degree, but He's going to want you to get up and get personal with people, not being ashamed of the gospel, not being afraid of what's on the inside of somebody else, not worrying about what you have heard about other people, but simply coming and being the vessel of honor that comes and only shares exactly what God has given you in your prayer closet. And I believe that you're going to change people's lives, each and every one of us. And I believe that there's a lot of Ananiases out there that it's time that you saw yourself as someone different than who you really are or who you have seen in the past. You know, he was able to suppress his own natural thoughts and to step out in faith and trusting God. We're going to have to do the same. God had a man that would do his will. Ah, God had someone that would obey him. You know, Ananias had to lay aside his thought about Paul and agree with what the Lord had spoken and then walk it out. Ananias' decision to act on the word of God caused Saul's life to take a completely different direction. Everything in Saul's life changed because one disciple, didn't say apostle, didn't say a prophet, didn't say a teacher, didn't say a pastor, didn't say an evangelist. One disciple heard God's voice, stepped out, and went to Saul, who was the most feared man among Christendom at the time. Anyone in that area was petrified that Saul was going to come and take them and lock them up in prison. And here's Ananias. God says, go meet with Saul. Excuse me? I think there's other things that you want me to do, Lord. How many people that when God has asked us to do something maybe difficult in our own mind to comprehend, we've stepped aside from it and we didn't accomplish it. This is a time now where I believe that God wants you to act out the word of God, and it's going to change people's lives forever. Because of one man's decision, a moment in his life, Ananias had to make a decision. He came to a crossroads and he had to make a decision. Am I going to obey my desires or my fears, or am I going to obey the word that God has given me? And I believe there's a lot of men and women that God has got a call on your life for ministry, whether it's supposed to be on the worship team, whether it's an intercessor, whether it's preaching the gospel, whether it's a missionary, whatever it is. I believe there's many that God has already spoken to you long ago, but you have not surrendered to that word of God because you have come up with other ideas and thoughts that scare you. Or that you're not sure if this is the right thing to do. Like Ananias. Lord, are you sure? I've heard about this guy, Saul. And so many times we address the same thing. Lord, are you sure you want me to go there? Lord, I'm supposed to walk away from what I have? Let me tell you something. When you walk away with what you possess and you surrender it to God and step out in what he's called you to do, the benefits are so much greater. What he gives you is so much greater than what you possess. So much greater. Please. This is a moment for you to press into that. Our lives today are being changed daily by one man's decision still today. My life is being changed every day because Ananias went and prayed for Paul, which was Saul at the time. He becomes the one that heals Saul. He lays his hands on the most notorious guy in that area for destroying Christian lives. He lays his hands on this man and his eyes are opened. Never hear about Ananias ever laying hands on anyone before, healing anyone before, but because of one act of obedience, he steps into that realm and Paul's eyes are opened. And then he says, we might as well get water baptized too, so that your sins are washed away. Here's a guy instructing Saul, who was one of the most learned men at that time in the Jewish religion, and he knew all of these things, but here's a man who's just simply a disciple, telling one of the foremost scholars of his time what he needs to do. Here, hang on a second. He lays his hands on, he heals him. Do you think Paul looked at Ananias differently from that moment forward? Number one, it was the first time he saw Ananias. All right. But then from that day forward, I guarantee you, Paul always had a special spot in his heart. And he always looked at Ananias as one of his heroes of faith. I know I would. I know I would. Maybe we don't read about him in Hebrews 11. But I would venture to say that Paul, for the rest of his life, looked and reminded, and we see that in 22. He's already telling people about this man, Ananias, who came and set him free. So he's proclaiming the power and the authority of God through a disciple. Just through a disciple. And that's what this time, this moment is for. It's for everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ to step up. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, preparing their hearts for a moment when God is going to give you a word. He's going to give you a name. He's going to give you a purpose. He's going to give you a place. He's going to say something in this time. If you will step into your prayer closet, into that another universe, and you start to see and build the kingdom of God according to the word of God, as you pray, setting the captives free, God's going to say, hey, I need you today, Ananias, whatever your name is. I need you to go and tell so-and-so. that I need them and lay hands on them and heal them. But Lord, I've never healed anybody before. He said, I didn't ask you to heal them. I will. I'll take care of that. I just need you to go lay hands on them and I'll take care of the rest of it. You know, we get to enjoy 2/3 of the New Testament written by the apostle, written by Paul now. And Ananias is the one that healed, got him healed by laying his hands on, obviously, through the power of God. Water baptizes him, and he agrees that his sins are washed away, and then baptizes him in the Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness. Everything happened in one word that God gave one disciple, and Paul's life took off like a rocket in a whole different direction than he ever thought of before. He never thought of it. He was so feared, people didn't want to associate with him no matter how much he preached. Listen, I guarantee you that people won't want to listen to you when you accept Jesus Christ and you start to preach either, because they say, I know who you were. I remember everything that you have done, and they don't want to listen for a while. But as you stay faithful, right? We stay faithful in the things of God, and we're going to multiply the kingdom of God. It's that simple, because his word never returns void, but always accomplishes that which he sent it to do. And one man whose name says Yahweh has been gracious to him stood up and said, I'll be gracious to another no matter what the world says about him. And I want to encourage you this morning, no matter what the world has said about you, we're going to be gracious. No matter what the world has said about your neighbors, let's be gracious. No matter what the world has said about your boss or anyone else that you come in contact with, let's be gracious. Let's respond to them the way that Christ has responded to each one of us, and the way that a disciple of Jesus is to respond, because he was gracious to Paul, being obedient to the Father. And so many things happen with little things. We're reminded of Gideon, right? Gideon, the least of all of his family, hiding, and God uses him to lead a great army. God's looking for those that are humble. And that humility is built in that time of isolation and separation. It's that time where you don't have somebody else telling you, this is what you're supposed to do, like we do with our children when they get up, right, when they're young. Make your bed. Make your. How many thousand times do you have to tell them make their bed before they actually do it on their own? How many times? I mean, do we have to get, you know, other tools to encourage them to? I hope not, other than just words to encourage. But it's the same thing with each one of our lives. How many times does God have to say, all power and authority I've given to you? You lack nothing before we start to obey that word or agree with that word and start to pray according to that word. In the late 1940s, I know many people have read about the Hebrides revival in Scotland. And I just want to read something again about just disciples. It says, in the late 1940s, a small cottage in Scotland on the Isle of Lewis, in the village of Barvis, lived two elderly women, Peggy and Christine Smith. They were 84 and 82 years old. Peggy was blind and her sister was almost bent over double with arthritis. Unable to attend public worship, their humble cottage became their sanctuary where they met with God. To them came the promise, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. They pleaded this day and night in prayer, and one night Peggy had a revelation. Revival was coming, and the church of her fathers would be crowded again with young people. You know, once again, these ladies, they, and I want everybody to hear this too. One was blind, Peggy was blind, and her sister was doubled over with arthritis, so they couldn't even leave the house and go to church. It wasn't the best situation. There was pain involved in their lives, but they still stayed focused on the plan and the call of God. 84 and 82 years old, crying out for a young generation, crying out for those that have never heard, never walked in the ways of God. So here are two humble ladies, two disciples of Jesus Christ at 84 and 82. It doesn't matter how young or how old, if you'll humble yourself, if you'll cry out to the King of Glory and say, Lord, I believe this is my moment. This is my Ananias moment. And Lord, I want to be one that studies to show themselves approved like Ananias did. I want to be one of those that is known by people around me of having a gracious heart and giving to whatever the need is. I want to be one that as I walk down the street, Lord, that people come and say, wait a minute, I've heard about you because I've hidden myself in my prayer room. We prayed and then we transformed the way that we think and speak according to the word of God so that people's lives around us are encouraged and strengthened and are added to. Our job is to add to the people around us. Our job is to encourage those around us. There's enough that are trying to cause division. Our job, Ananias, he saw the division that Paul was bringing to the land, but he didn't back away. He didn't say, I'm sorry, God, that's too much. You don't understand what you're asking of me. He knew that he might have to give his life. He knew that he might go to jail or prison because he heard all of those things that Saul was doing. But he said, Lord, I'll go. These two older ladies, how beautiful, 84 and 82. We don't hear in the story where they complained. Why didn't God do this? I can't get out of my house. No, they just started to cry out. This is a moment. This is a moment for the church to cry out. And I believe it's a crying for those that are lost. And these two old ladies ushered in, they ushered in a move of God in the young people. 84, 82, young people set free. And they said on the island of Lewis that the revival came and it broke out in all the little villages, but not the main city center. Even, isn't it just like God though? He uses just these little towns where someone was an Ananias and was crying out for his town. And the ones that were rebuking or disagreeing maybe with the revival, the Spirit of God just passed over a certain area. And it went to these little bitty towns, insignificant on this tiny little island. And yet there's an outpouring into young people's lives like we've never seen. Ananias, we don't hear about any great thing that he has done until he comes here. And God said, Ananias, that's what I need you to do. I want you to know there's something that God needs you to do, and it's different from everybody else around you. It's something different than everybody else around you. And he's going to say, I need you to do this. And when we do the simple thing the first time, guess what? He gives us something else to do. Oh, he adds to it all the time. He said, be fruitful. Get alone with him. That's where our fruit is born. We've been grafted into the vine, right? The only thing we can draw from is the vine of Jesus Christ. The only thing in the goodness and the mercy and the grace, that's all we're allowed to draw from. We're not allowed to draw from the foolish movies and everything else that's out there, all of the negative lies that are being propagated all over the internet all the time and for years. We're not allowed to get off into the foolish fantasies that man comes up with about, you know, you and your big boat and your fancy cars or whatever, you know, the thoughts were when we were 15, 16, or even 20-something and didn't know Jesus Christ. And the only thing we cared about was pleasing ourselves. Those things, we're going to have to put them aside, and we're going to have to be faithful in what God's called us to do in order to multiply. Because if we'll be faithful in him, he'll multiply everything we put our hands to, the scripture says. But I believe it's a time for the Ananias to step up. And I believe this is the day of the Ananias in the church to step out also. To step into that place where you and God are all alone. And then to step out in the call of God in your life. The only title you need is disciple. And we don't need that title coming from man. You notice no man called him a disciple. God did. Oh, when God looks at the heart and God calls and they write down in the word of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Can we get to a place where that's the greatest desire that we have? That when we die on our tombstone, all it says, disciple of Jesus Christ. The greatest term that we could possibly put on there, disciple. That means you have disciplined yourself after the King of Glory. That you have taken all that you have and laid it down. I believe that you are disciples. Many that are walking in the Lord Jesus Christ for a lot of years, you've been a disciple. You know his voice. You know his word. You've been trained in it. You know he is with you and he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You know that there's provision in any vision that he gives you. You know all of these things. Now, it's about drawing back, which is what we have to do right now to a certain degree at night, and then listening to the Lord, waiting for the word that God has. And I pray that the word that God gives you is a word of prophecy over somebody else's life. Let's read Ananias' prophecy over Paul. In verse 14, it says, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will. That's the first thing that every one of them need to know. Every word that comes to those that are lost is God wants you to know his will. We got caught up in our own will. We got lost in our own will. And we got way off base in our own will. But he said, God wants you to know. He has appointed you to know his will. Can I tell you this morning, God has appointed everyone that can hear my voice. He has appointed you to know his will. That prophecy over Paul is the same prophecy for each and every one of us. And to see the righteous one, to hear an utterance from his mouth. He says in verse 15, for you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, why do you delay? Oh, I love that part. Oh, I love that. So I have to ask you this morning, why do you delay? Why do you delay? There's a delay in each one of us. I've delayed, you've delayed. There's nobody that gets to stand up above everybody else. He asked Paul, why do you delay? Don't even think about it, he's saying. Don't even let it cross your mind to delay. And that's what we want to say this morning. Please don't delay. Don't delay in pressing into the word. Don't delay in pressing into worship when nobody else is in your house. You can get crazy when you're in your house by yourself and nobody's around and crank up the music so loud that the windows start going like this. That's what I like to do because then it drowns out my voice. And when it drowns out my voice, and man, I become the greatest singer the world has ever heard because I'm drowned out by really good singers. But in my mind, oh, I can sing with all I'm worth and I can dance around the house. And we do that, but can I tell you, that's what God's looking for in church. That's what he's looking for in our own lives, no matter where we are, that we're unashamed of it all. Why do you delay? It says, get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. What a word of prophecy, Ananias, a simple disciple, spoke over Paul's life. Just a simple disciple. All he said was exactly what the Lord spoke to him. And then he says to Paul, or Saul, becoming Paul, why do you delay? Why would you even think about it? What else on the planet could possibly take your vision? Something, what could be greater than fulfilling the call that God has on your life? What is it? What is it that you've been doing that would supersede what the King of Glory has spoken over your life to go and do? Is there anything greater than what God has called us to do? For we all know, and we have seen it. We have seen it many times, day after day. We hear about the reports of people dying and going to be with the Lord. Can I tell you, death, for those that are in Christ, it has no sting. The grave has no victory. To close our eyes here is to open up our eyes in eternity. Those that fear death, we're speaking to you right now. If you're afraid of dying, I want to introduce you to the King of Glory, the one who takes away that fear, who takes away the sting. Wouldn't it be wonderful to walk up to a hornet's nest and realize they have no stingers? Would you run and scream and holler? No, because there's no pain. They would all be flying around and you would just be like, yeah, whatever. Whack, whack, whack. Get out of here. It's the stinger that we run from. And there's no sting any longer. Jesus defeated death when he was crucified on Calvary. Innocent blood was shed. And he was able to go down and take the keys of death. And he said, no longer will people that believe in me, no longer will they die in the spirit. They're going to lay these bodies down, but they're going to live with me forever. Or no longer will they die with fear, because I've overdone it and I'm going to be there and take their hand. And we've heard many testimonies of people being in the room with others that have passed away. And they look up and they They say, it's okay for me to go. You can go home now. And they say, why? Why is that, Mom? Or why is that, Dad? So, well, Jesus is right here and he's waiting to take me home. You see, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we agree with the word of God, everything starts to change. Ananias agreed with the word of God. He spoke it over a man's life and his life was changed forever. And he's changing every life today that will read the words that he wrote down. So today, if you don't know this Jesus that we've been speaking about who changed Paul's heart, he was ruthless. And then he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He was blinded and he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I guess that's probably a question for a lot of the leaders around. Why would you persecute Jesus Christ? Why would you deny him? Why would you speak evil of him, vile of him? Why would Hollywood even use the words of God in a negative way? Or the names of God in a negative way? Why would they even do that? For Jesus Christ went around doing good, healing all of those that were sick and releasing all of those from depression or oppression. And he's still doing the same thing today through disciples of Jesus Christ. And so today, as we close, the Bible says that there is no salvation in any other name than the name of Jesus Christ. It says there's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. And that salvation simply means asking Christ to forgive you of your sins and allowing him to come in and be the Lord and Savior of our lives. It's acknowledging that he is the Son of God, that he was born, he was crucified, he was buried, and he was raised on the third day and now sits at the right hand of the Father. And that blood that was shed on Calvary is enough to wash away our sins. For the scripture says, even in the Old Testament, that there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And so this morning, because of the power of God's word, as we've seen and we've read in the word of God, how one man shared the word of God with another, and his life took another direction. We're believing today that when you pray with us, your life will take a different direction. We're believing God that anger, the jealousy, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, God's going to heal those areas of your life. He's going to bring you to a place where you're going to have greater freedom. All because of a word that was written for each one of us, written from the very throne room of God, from another world that will set the people free. He said, I sent my word and I healed them. As we agree with his word this morning, if you're watching today, we want to give you an opportunity to meet this Jesus, the Christ, the King of glory. We want you to come to know him as your Lord and Savior. We want you to be able to step in to a Christ-filled eternity. One where there's perfect love and peace and joy and there's mercy and grace. One where you never have to worry about when you close your eyes for the last time on this planet. So if you would close your eyes and bow your head with me and just repeat after me and say, Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I agree that the blood of Jesus Christ is enough. I agree that he is the Son of God, that he was born the Savior of the world, that he died, was crucified, buried, and rose again on the third day. And right now, I receive him as my Lord and Savior. I surrender to your word and to the Lordship of Jesus. Come into my heart. I give you my life. In Jesus' name. And if that's you this morning and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're so grateful. And I just want to pray one more time in closing over your life and everyone else. Just bow your heads one more time. Father, I thank you that every curse is broken. Father, that we truly are free indeed. According to your word, the grave couldn't hold you. And it can't hold us. Our sin has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. We are free indeed this morning. We have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we have right standing with you. And Father, we thank you that in that righteousness, We have a right relationship. We can come before you all the days of our lives. And Father, we know that you're listening when we speak to you. Lord, I pray that each one would grab a hold of the revelation that it is the day of Ananias. It's a day and a season for those that feel like they're all by themselves to press in, to be fruitful in their time that is down right now, so that you would multiply everything they put their hands to each and every day. Father, I thank you that today is a day that we have set apart our lives for you and you alone. Come, come, O God. Lord, we bow before you. We surrender to your leading, and we say thank you for healing us. Thank you for making us strong. We agree that the power of Christ on the inside of us is greater than any disease on this planet. And at the name of Jesus Christ, every virus must die. At that name, every disease must be healed. Father, we agree that as we walk in that faith and as we speak according to your word, we'll have what your word says has already been accomplished at Calvary. Thank you for the stripes that you received. Lord, we're so thankful that all of our sins were piled on Jesus Christ, and we are no longer a slave to sin, but we truly are free indeed this morning, and we're a slave of righteousness. We bless you. We honor you. We bow before you. We say there is no God besides ours. There's Jesus is the Savior of the world, and there's no other name. There's none like his. We love you. We're so thankful, Father, that you have made us your sons and daughters. Let us enjoy. Let us rejoice. Let us sing. Let us shout. Let us hear and obey the word that you're going to speak to us in this season. For it's only a moment that we have to sit with you completely removed from all the cares of this world. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. We thank God for the word that's going forth in your heart. The Bible says that you need to forgive those that have offended you. And when you forgive them, you are forgiven. So go and hear the voice of God and be Ananias. I'll be looking forward to hearing the words that you spoke over someone else's life. And they were changed and their lives were set on a new trajectory. One of freedom, one of joy, one of great hope.